going to be going through the book of Luke, and we're studying women in the book of Luke. And last week we studied Mary and Elizabeth, and this week we're going to be visiting a household, the household of Mary, Mary and Martha. So can you open up your Bibles to Luke 10? I'm going to be reading from verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered and said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good part that will not be taken away from her." First, I want to take a peek into the culture of this day. In order to understand the story and the context, we want to give you the backdrop of the culture. So Mary, as a hostess, Martha was seemed like as a hostess, but Mary was a disciple. And being one of Jesus' disciples meant also that you would have to, well, being a hostess in those days meant that you would have to serve and feed a lot of people. So for Jesus to be in the house of Martha and Mary, you know he's coming with a crowd. Now, women were to serve, but in the tradition of that day, they were excluded from altar ministry and priestly duties. Jewish women could touch the food, but they were not permitted to touch the Torah or the scriptures. They were not taught by the Torah itself or by the scriptures itself, but they would be instructed according to right living and according to the plan that was ascribed to them. But it was indirectly, where a disciple would sit at the feet of a rabbi and they would be able to hear what the rabbi is saying and to learn from the scriptures. So Martha's acts of service fell short of Mary's labor or love, but the two are necessary. So what I want to suggest to you tonight is we're going to talk about right priorities and a healthy balance and the temperament and temperance of the Holy Spirit, because the two is needed. One's not right, one's not wrong, but we could get all twisted and turned when we don't have that right balance and we don't prioritize the one thing that should come first. Now, despite the culture's importance, hospitality and feeding the guest, Mary's role as a disciple is more important. Jesus came to break down every cultural and every social barrier. So for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus was totally unconventional, and it was not the social norm. In a way, Martha's rebuke when she said, "Lord, tell her to come." In other words, she was telling Mary, "Lord, tell her to get out of the living room with you. She belongs in the kitchen." So in a way, Martha was echoing the voice of society and the voice and the signs of those times. And women were put in the book of Luke, and Luke focused on women to show us as a body, as the body of Christ, the place that God has for women and their prominence in society and their place in the body of Christ. See, when Jesus came on the scene, he broke down and he broke through the walls of social gender boundaries. Jesus breaks down the walls of legalism, ritual, and religion. And through the cross, salvation, which is God's love in action, he opens up a way to a radical hospitality through a radical invitation, and he says to everyone, "Whosoever will believe, come to me. Come to me." That's the invitation. The call of Jesus is not to ministry. The call of Jesus is to Jesus himself. Ministry flows from intimacy. Amen? All ministry flows from intimacy. Ministry without intimacy is robotic. Friendships without intimacy can be codependent, unhealthy, and they'll just get all out of whack. So Jesus welcomes with open arms anyone, whoever, regardless of race, social status, or gender. God's love in action breaks down walls of inequality, elitism, favoritism, and discrimination. Galatians 3:28, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ. So we're going to talk about God's love in action, breaking down every wall that blocks us from the love and the mercy and power of God. If you read through the book of Galatians, Paul will go on, and he started it right out. He says, man didn't reveal nothing to me. My revelation came directly from Christ. I wasn't called by man. I was called by God himself. And he said, all these super apostles and celebrity Christians, they mean nothing to me. They don't affect me because God has no favoritisms. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. See, Jesus comes with us with undeserved kindness. He puts us in a place of undeserved privilege when we are utterly helpless. You don't have to work to be graced by God. You don't have to work to get him to love you. You don't have to perform for acceptance because we don't deserve it anyway. That breaks the works mentality. It breaks all religious duty. It breaks the idea that I have to pray more, serve more, be good more, do more for God. No, no, no. The work of God is to believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. And God is looking for Christians who are deeply moved by the rest and the love and the mercy of God. And in this room tonight, I believe he's going after anxiety. There's people in this room that all hell comes against us, and we operate under the spirit, and it causes us to manipulate and control. And God is saying, no, what you can't do for yourself, I've already done. You don't have to work for grace, but grace will flow my work through you. In those days, Jesus and Mary broke through the systems of social boundaries. And God shows his acceptance and approval for Mary by giving her a prominent place. And that place was at his feet. It's amazing when you see it. Because he would have studied at the feet. Do you remember when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus? And they didn't know where he was? And he said, shouldn't you have known I was in my father's house? And in those days, there were temples in that culture. And rabbis used to just sit there in the temples, and people would come in, men would come in, and the teaching that they would learn was about a father and son. So Jesus would have known what it meant to sit at a rabbi's feet. But I was thinking about this amazing thought that, you know, when he was in that Passover feast or when he was learning at the feast, sooner or later, he got a revelation like, they're talking about me. I'm the son that's going to come. I'm the son that's going to save souls. And it's amazing. So he would have known the privilege. And yet here comes God to anyone, whosoever will, to break down barriers and break down walls. And he says, you can come and you can sit and I will teach you about the Father. I will teach you about his love. I will teach you about his mercy. I will teach you that I want to live in you and through you. I don't want you to work. I don't want you to perform. I don't want you to feel like you're unworthy or unaccepted because I have made a place for you through the cross. He liberates her and he lifts her up to a status that is in Christ, that is acceptable and lovely above all principality and power. And he changes her so she can change the world around her. Remember, Pastor Will is constantly saying that Jesus fulfilled all his promises to us through the cross. The cross was the means of Jesus fulfilling his promise. But the promise to us is the person of the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit not in measure. We have the Holy Spirit poured out upon us. And each time we just surrender to God and agree with God, there is a blessing. There is an infilling. There is more of Jesus. And you know what? You can have as much of Jesus as you want. He breaks down through and he breaks out on Mary. He takes Mary out of the living room and Martha out of the kitchen. He rearranges some furniture and he begins to build his house. And his house is us. His house is a holy temple that he can live in and love out and love through. Amen? Ephesians 2:14-18. It says, with his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of the law, Through Jesus, we are made a dwelling place for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, freedom is being free of trying to change ourselves in our own strength. Freedom is being free of trying to change somebody else in our own strength. Freedom is what we get because Jesus gives us himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't work to be accepted. He finished the work on the cross, and we are totally accepted. We are totally accepted. Religion says, I do. But Jesus says, done. So let's look at Luke 10. It's a right priority with a healthy balance. A right priority with a healthy balance. God's love walks with us and teaches us through life's experience. Now, I want you to go home and read this. Read the whole thought through Luke 10, because you have to look at the Bible in the context of what is being spoken. You can't just take one scripture. And so he begins to start prioritizing situations in the disciples' life through the very experiences that they were going through. So for time's sake, for Luke 10, verse 1 to 8, he says peace is more important than pushy evangelism. First things first. Luke 10 to 12, he says, don't linger in the city of rejection. If they don't accept you, they don't accept me. Shake the dust off your feet and move out. It's a word for somebody tonight. Luke 10, 17 to 20. Being written in the Lamb's book of life is more important than rebuking demons. For all those people who are always fighting with the enemy. The battle's already won. The devil's already defeated. But yet he could drag us and distract us and rebuke. And God is like, I already did what you can't do. Just sit with me. Get at my feet. And I'll take care of everything else. By the way, the name of this message is Feet First. The beginning of your journey to proper priority and healthy balance is summed up in this scripture. Because this was the thought he was bringing them to for a right balance and proper priorities. Luke 10, 27. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We love him because he first loved us. We love him. Our love for Jesus is a right response. It's a right response to a completed work. He has done everything. He has given us everything we need to live a holy and godly life. It's a right response to a loving God who completed everything for us. And as I love him, and as I am fully convinced that he loves me, I could love my neighbor and serve them without control, without anxiety, without bullying them, without telling Jesus to tell the person that I want him to deal with what to do. You ever pray like that? Lord, tell her. It's like, listen, I'll go to her prayer closet. That's none of your business. I'm dealing with you right now, like Elder Walter said. Hallelujah. In Luke 10, 38 to 42, we see the context of Martha and Mary. We see grace and works. We see flesh and spirit. And we're going to learn tonight that Martha and Mary lives in one heart. We all have a little bit of Martha and a little bit of Mary. We vacillate. We should take hold of New Covenant. We should embrace New Covenant. We should learn it, live it, speak it. But we vacillate. You have one bad day, and you just feel like you can't come and you can't worship. So you know what happens? We busy ourselves. We busy ourselves with good things that we're doing for God. But we miss the moment of intimacy with him. In Galatians 4, it gives us an example of Hagar and Sarah. Hagar worked to get the promise. Sarah said, God works in me, and he gives me the promise. God did not ask Hagar to make an occasional visit to Sarah's home. The break was permanent. We're talking about what women represent in the book of Luke. When we understand and embrace covenant, Hagar is cast down and Hagar is cast out. Galatians says the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh, but Jesus on the cross gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite than the flesh to empower and equip us to obey God's commands. Because we're never asked to do something outside of the grace of God. When God asks us to do something, he gives us the power to walk it out. The flesh was against the Spirit was against the flesh. But the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we try not to fill the lust of the flesh before we walk in the Spirit. We have it backwards. What does walk in the Spirit mean? I remember Pastor Dave preached the message. He said, walking in the Spirit could be summed up in one word. Well, actually two. Yes, God. I'm under his authority. I'm in agreement with his commandments. I'm in agreement with the word. And because of that, the Holy Spirit will give me the authority and give me the power. If I just keep agreeing with him, if I just keep saying yes to him, I'm walking in the Spirit. Amen. We got Martha Madness. That's what I want to talk to you about. And Mary Gladness. But when Jesus sets the priority and he brings the ballast, we will be mad glad, like the young people say. Martha Madness, let's talk about that. We get a snapshot of a Christian struggling in a sweatshop with misplaced priorities and unhealthy balances. I will serve him before I sit at his feet. I will serve him without sitting at his feet. Because Martha welcomed Jesus in her home, but she neglected him with service for him. Anybody in the house tonight? In verse 40, it says Martha was distracted with many details, much service. The outside noise of the pots and pans rattling in the kitchen is telling of an inward turmoil. Too much control is fueled by a drive to be perfect. And when we feel imperfect on the inside, we strive for perfection on the outside. And this is something I want to tackle here tonight. Like, I could picture Mary going, Martha, what are you doing in the kitchen, Martha? And Martha's like, it's for grace, it's for grace. I have to feed Grace. And Mary's like, no, it's not for grace, it's by grace. You need grace to serve. You don't serve for grace. I'm trying to make this real simple. Too much drive for security on the outside is rooted in insecurity on the inside. Voices of legalism will taunt you. Martha must have heard, Martha, you are what you do. The more you do, the more God will love you. Get into that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans and let the noise drown the pain and clamor or noise of shame and unworthiness. Because sometimes when we're feeling unworthy and we're operating with a low-grade fever of shame, we will keep ourselves busy doing good things for God and distract ourselves from his presence because it's so painful, the areas that we don't want God to see. But I want to say to you tonight, those very areas that seem reproachable to you is an invitation to go into God's presence and sit at his feet. Because there at his feet, he made a safe place to be vulnerable. There's nothing more beautiful than finding a friend that you can be vulnerable to. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Don't busy yourself. Don't be afraid to go in, because that's how he makes beauty from ashes. He'll take the ashes of what you think that he don't want to deal with. It's too messy. It's too smelly. No, God says, I want to get in the midst of that mess, and I want to make something beautiful out of it. Whenever we operate with the low grade of fever of fear and shame and unworthiness, we will busy ourselves with much service to God, creating a distance from God. Shame and unworthiness screams, work hard, but don't get too close. Fear of Jesus knowing and seeing that which is a reproach to you, it keeps you in a battle, and you're constantly stuffing down and hiding under the mask of service. Remember, whenever we serve at a distance, we develop a man-pleasing spirit that's rooted in acceptance, by performance. And God tonight wants to break out and break through and break down these walls. I just want to give you a couple of notes that I jotted down from a book that I'm reading. Actually, Marsha's very good friend. I mixed my words with husband. We go on to say, the greater the distance, the more dysfunction. And God doesn't want his people to function in dysfunction. Do you function in dysfunction? Does unhealthy seem healthy? Unnormal seem normal? Because I'll tell you something, darkness attracts darkness, and darkness befriends each other. When you have two things, two people with two different darknesses, it will befriend each other. And that relationship will get so unhealthy. But where light breaks through darkness, darkness and darkness befriends each other. And where there's a great distance, there's great dysfunction. Distance breeds dysfunction, and dysfunction will start when we bury down painful emotions. Many experience a void, a numbness, because you have separation of head and heart. Your head and heart, they move in two different directions when we distance ourselves from feelings to avoid painful emotions. This manufactures a mask mentality, and the masks are self-made to prevent anyone from seeing the real me. So we take on this persona and we become a man pleaser. We become a yes man, a yes girl. We become the tough girl, the nice guy. We become anything and everything that we believe people need us to be so that we can be accepted. And God tonight is saying the buck stops here. Because we are accepted in the Beloved. We do not have to work. We do not have to perform. There's only one person that matters in our lives to be accepted from, and that's Jesus Christ. And when he makes us worthy, because he's made us clean and he makes us worthy, we don't have to keep working to be worthy. Because we're made worthy not by anything we do, not because of who we are, but because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We develop all this unhealthy behavior as an image to cover pain, fear, and fear of abandonment. It goes like this. If I say no, they won't love me. But if I please them, they won't leave me. But how many of you in this room know that is a lie from darkness? People are going to go. Listen, you need to get the gift of goodbye. Because when people want to walk away, let them walk. When people want to go, let them go. People are in our lives for a reason, for a season. Some is for a reason, some is for a season. Some are keepers. But we have to know. And it takes time to understand. It takes time for a relationship to develop. Just like he is slowly developing inside of us, this Jesus of ours that lives inside of us. Relationships have to develop slowly, and we have to understand boundaries, because the boundaries get blurred when there's two unhealthy persons trying to vie for affection and attention outside of Jesus Christ. There is nothing wrong with wanting to see people happy, but when you find you don't have choices and freedom because the desire to please people is taken over, this is a problem. People pleasing, a desire to make someone happy at your own expense. What happens is we give them a transfer of power with unhealthy motives. If you're happy, then you will make me happy. If I'm kind to you and make you feel good, you will treat me right. It's rooted in guilt, and there is a loss of power to make a choice. Because of fear of how the people will respond. I'll tell you right now, some of you right now, I'm going to give you a word. This is going to be your power. No. If you are dealing with a situation and you are uncomfortable to tell somebody no, and your no is not accepted or respected, you need to go. How do we learn proper boundaries, and how do we learn to say no? We allow Jesus to deal with our fears and insecurities. We go feet first. We don't want to fear abandonment. We don't want to fear withdrawal. And it's the same thing that we fear is what we begin to do with Jesus. We abandon ourselves from him. because it hurts too much to go in, but then we're being hurt by people and we begin to withdraw even from Christ. And this is where people get stuck in an abyss of dysfunction and unhealthy cycles. Is anybody hearing me in this house tonight? You have to love the Lord first with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything that's in you. Get along with people that will give you the freedom to make right choices, the freedom to make your own choices. Don't put up with people who put you on a guilt trip because you don't want to do everything they don't want to do. They want to do. Let's talk about Mary Gladness. But the Lord said to her, and I believe it was so loving, and I believe he just was waiting for her to finish cooking all that food for all those people so he could just say, Martha, Martha. You know when Jesus says, Simon, Simon, or Saul, Saul. Have you ever heard him? He's like, Lisa, I'm not stuttering. I called you twice. Lisa, Lisa. He said, don't be anxious and troubled. Don't be anxious and troubled about many things. Because just one thing is necessary. It's that one thing that's vital. It's that one thing that's necessary. It's that one thing that will take care of everything. And Mary has chosen it. You know, sitting at the feet with Jesus is a radical choice because it's a radical invitation, because he shows us radical hospitality. Come on. Because I'm trying not to preach. I'm supposed to be talking. Supposed to be conversational, right? How am I doing, Arthur? Okay. That one thing that will take care of everything. Come on. It's a choice. It's the better of the two, and it will not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away from you. You could lose everything, but don't lose Jesus. People are going to come. People are going to go. Ministry's going to come. Ministry's going to go. We'll be in a valley. We'll be on the mountaintop. But we'll be in a pit. We'll be out of a pit. But if Jesus is with me and he wants me in a pit I'm going to stay. Make a lot of pit stops in the kingdom of God. And beware for those people who want to pick you out of the pit when Jesus says, I need you in there for a while. Rescuers, enablers. Hallelujah. God gives us freedom to choose. Freedom to choose. But let me tell you something. This was a revelation I got. I was just at Summit. He says that he gives us the power to say no. But why do we say no to God and we can't say no to man? Come on, let's tell the truth here. Freedom to choose. Priority, balance, the best choice, the better choice. Now let me lead you to my last point, which is getting to the feet, but in Luke 17, verse 8, do not turn there. But we see this amazing principle. I'm talking about feet first. I'm talking about the better part first. I'm talking about the one thing that's needed. And Jesus is speaking in a parable about a servant, and this is what he says. Jesus speaking says, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink. And afterward, we will eat and drink together. See, Mary was serving Jesus, but then Jesus was going to get up with Mary and they were going to all go eat together. But Jesus is saying first things first, feet before hands. Feet before work. Seek my face. Get down at my feet so you could do your hands busy for work for God. Service flows from feeding Jesus in the secret place. Because let me tell you something, and this is the most beautiful thing about Jesus. When you get in that place with him, there is something about you. When you just, he knows that he's got your heart. He knows he's got your mind. He knows you're bound up in the bundle of his love. He knows that you're putting first things first. There is something about a heart like that. Something about a woman. Something about a man that satisfies something radical in Jesus. Intimacy is not only for us. Jesus desires your company. Yes. You want to be on that Facebook and whatever book you guys go on, get in this book and get in his face, because he'll never unfriend you. Jesus is not an unfriender. He'll never delete you. He won't unfriend you. Listen, I don't have Twitter, but I follow Jesus. I don't have Facebook, but I can get in his face and read his book. Come on. Don't let the clutter and clamor of technology rob your intimacy with Jesus. Then you're looking for love in all the wrong places, and I don't understand that you just, those pods are plugged in our ears, and we can't, it's like a private music studio. You ever have somebody, I used to work, deliver to a music studio, and the music studio, when you're in it, you can't hear nothing. We became private music studios. Service flows from feeding Jesus in the secret place. And he says, feed me first. Feed me first. Get low at his feet. Linger in his presence. Listen. Love him. Let him love you. Get way down low, because when you get up, you will not be the same. You don't have to worry. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to fix it. Mary, you're busy, busy, busy like a bee. Details, details, lists, lists. I'm Italian. I can picture her sweating with this little muumuu on, and she's just like dripping wet with the tissue crunch in her pocket going, are you going to help me or what? And she's striving in a sweatshop kitchen. And she made man, she said, much detail. She's overdoing anything. She didn't have to make pasta. She had to make pasta, antipasti, had to make all the meals, because she was going to overdo it. She was going to overcompensate. And don't we do that when we're trying to please people? All right, let me get back here. Jesus told his disciples, I have food you know nothing about. And he said this after he was satisfied with a sinner woman who just decided she was safe enough to be vulnerable with all the good and the bad and the ugly stuff, and she stayed and she lingered and she listened. And there was something about that discourse. Well, she got the greatest revelation. Jesus never revealed himself as Messiah, but to this woman, straight out, I am the Messiah. Because there was something about that discourse that she was feeding him. And as she fed him, he was satisfied. And guess what happened? She satisfied him, and then she got his appetite for love and for souls. Are you hearing me tonight? You don't have to practice evangelism. Go to the feet, and you could speak to the head. You could speak to the heart. It's right down, 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 low. Nobody wants to go down that low, though. Want a quick, fast food Christianity. It ain't going to happen with Jesus. True intimacy is when we come out of the prayer closet and we are fully convinced he is into me, you see. Hallelujah. When we get this, he is satisfied, and he gives us our appetite for service. He gives us our appetite for souls. He gives us strength to serve. And then he says, put on the proper clothes, because you know you must get dressed up in Christ. Amen. Take off those heavy rags. Take off the oppression and the gloom and doom. He gives us the spirit of praise for the garment, right? For heaviness, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He says, put on the proper clothes. It's the love of Jesus, clothed in his grace. He clothes us for service. He graces us for service. We don't have to serve for grace. He graces us for service. He puts it on, he puts it in, and he pulls it out. Amen? Amen. We're accepted. We're adopted. We have access to go right into the presence of God through the Spirit of God, by the blood of God. We go into his presence. Listen, this is what I love to say. We go into his presence not to be accepted, but because we are accepted. You don't have to work. You don't have to, you know, that veil was, it was impossible for humans to rip it. But with one cry, it is finished. The cry came and the split came, and God broke out on humanity, and he said, you could not get to me, so I came to you. It's my mercy that leads you to repentance, actually. There's an amazing freedom that comes in the soul when we find our identity and our worth in Christ alone. Hallelujah. We don't serve to satisfy Jesus and others. We are satisfied in Christ, and then we can serve others. Hallelujah. So I said Martha Madness and Mary Gladness, and you'll be mad glad. When we prioritize and develop healthy balances, the church moves forward. The church moves forward. We need the Marthas. We need the hospitality ministry. We need the greeters. We need the ushers. We need people that can get things done. So Mary can study. So we can preach. So we can teach. But out of that preaching and teaching, out of that time with Jesus, we'll be able to serve. We'll be able to get things done. And I say Martha and Mary is something that's in our own heart. You need to study the Word of God. You need to get into this word. You need to let this word get into you. You need to know the word of God. If you have a problem, the answer isn't here. There is no counsel. The counsel will tell you what's wrong with you over and over and over again, but it will never deliver you. Self-help is self-help. And self-help, you find out you can't help yourself. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who can help themselves. Come on. You got to take 12 steps and do this. No, it's one step. It's faith in Christ. And Jesus, he'll take you where you can never go in your own strength. Freedom in choosing Christ and sitting at his feet is the better part. And if we choose to sit with Jesus before we serve, he will deposit that one thing in us. And that one thing will take care of everything, because that one thing is all of him. He says, if you sit at my feet and you choose to feed me, and before you do service for me, I will give you all of me. He wants to break the captivity of activity tonight. I'm telling you, I started writing this message, and I had anxiety come out my mind. I was in my apartment, and I'm like, I was shaking like a leaf until I prayed with Arthur tonight. But it was this anxiety, and that's all the Lord kept telling me. I want to break the anxiety. You know, to be anxious is to be pushed and pulled in two different directions. To stress and strive in the house of God is because you have not come under that fullness of what Jesus purchased for us at the cross. There is power in Christ. But there is healing in Christ. But there's also peace in Christ. Jesus wants to give you peace tonight. He wants to comfort you. He wants to take that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He wants to put a newness of spirit in you so you can walk with him. You were baptized in Christ to say no. You have the power to say no. You can say no to sin. You're dead to sin, alive in Christ. And when even in the midst of your struggle in Romans 7, it teaches us that Paul, the very struggle that Paul was in, led him to the revelation that God makes a distinction between me and my sin. He said, oh, I'm a wretched man. There's no good thing in me, but it's no longer I. It's the sin that dwells in me. And in the midst of your struggle, God will lead you to this revelation that in the most of your mess and in the mix of this craziness that you're facing, or this something that you can't get the victory over, God is not mad at you. God is not saying you should know this by now. God is saying the very struggle, he leads captivity captive. I got this picture in my mind that, you know, you think the devil's dragging you in captivity, but the very thing is God is using you to drag the devil into a deeper defeat, and he's going to use the boots on your feet to crush his head. He leads captivity captive. Talking about love in action. The greatest action you will ever have is at the feet of Jesus. Trust me. Trust me. I did so much when I was in the world. And, you know, when I first got saved, God delivered me out of so many things. I could tell you my testimony. It'll take too much time. But I could tell you this. When God gave me the new heart, I gave it right back to him. And my prayer was, I want to be a woman of prayer. I want to be a woman who lingers in your presence. I want to be a woman that people, everyone, in the church, out of the church, has to reckon with the Christ in me. I want to be a woman that's contagious. I want people to look at me and say, I want what she's got. Not on the outside, but on the inside. I don't want to have to strive and struggle. I want to know my Jesus. He went through great lengths so that he could fellowship with us. God didn't save you to do works for him. He saved you so you could fellowship with him. And out of that fellowship, out of that intimacy, out of that quiet place with him, all ministry will flow. Every relationship will flow. And what will happen is you'll start getting attracted to people in the spirit. And you'll be like, I wouldn't even want to hang out with this person. Because it's so different than what you know. Walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want Mary and Elizabeth relationships. You want to know that when the clutter and clamor is coming against your life and you got issues and you don't have enough tissues for your issues, that you could reach out and you could touch Jesus and you could hold on to him until virtue, until power comes out of you. Is anybody hearing me in the house tonight? Hallelujah. So here's what God wants to do. He wants to break the shame and the pain of your struggle. Hallelujah. He wants to break the anxiety tonight. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And what I prayed for you tonight is the same thing I prayed for myself. You know, he needed to be anointed for burial. We need an anointing to die to self. But we need an anointing to sit at his feet. So will you stand? Jesus said, I want you to be mad glad. I want you to be mad about me and glad about service. But you have to be madly in love with Jesus first. I'm just going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask you, every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want to say a prayer. And ask the Lord to come. And we're going to have the worship team come. And we have a couple of minutes to worship. And God, you know, prayer and worship are weapons from God. Those are the weapons. Prayer, worship, and thanksgiving. These are the arsenals from heaven that he wants to lay it on this group tonight. Amen? And so, Lord, I just want to pray right now, God. You just take a moment. Holy Spirit. Just quiet yourself before the Lord. Please don't worry about leaving, getting to the car, whatever you need to do. God is here. Elder Walter mentioned forgiveness. Lord, we invite you in. Take us low, Lord. You know with you, down is up, Lord. We want to go down. Lord, take us. Put us in that spiritual elevator. And take us down to your feet, Lord. I'm asking you tonight, Lord, to seal this word. I ask you now. There's so many things that are vying for your people's attention, Lord, but that you would break the clamor and the clutter, the captivity of activity, the anxiety, Lord. And I'm asking you to come, Lord, and finish this work through the worship. I ask you that the captives would be set free tonight. I ask you for true freedom. I ask you to break chains. I ask you to break shackles. I ask you to comfort your people, Lord. Convince them of your love, God. I ask where there's compromise, God, where there's compromised in relationships, where women are settling too low, Lord, than what you really have for us. Lord, where men are settling, God, would you break unrealistic expectations? Would you break unholy alliances, God? Would you get to the root of the matter, God? But more than anything, God, I'm asking you to reveal your love to us, God, that we would be swallowed in your love tonight, God, and that you would break all the unworthiness, God, and all the shame, God, and everything that we have, Lord, that we function with, that we have no business keeping, God. You didn't give us fear. You gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And thank you for the exchange tonight, God. You give us beauty for ashes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, God, the oil of joy for mourning, God, Lord, that we may be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we may repair, God, do a work in us and then do a work through us. And I'm asking you for a spirit of worship to fall in this place tonight, that no one will leave the same that they came in one way and they will go out another way. God, because you said and you screamed it to me, comfort my people. In Jesus' name.